Well, first of all, let's just go to the Father in prayer. I just want to make a declaration over you while I'm praying this morning. Is that okay if I make a declaration over you? Praise God. Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord God, we just declare that we are the daughters of the Most High God, that we are victorious, that we are conquerors in this world, and that we are the head and we are not the tail. And Father God, we thank you that your blessings and your glory and your power and your goodness and your love and your mercy go with us and will follow us all the days of our life. Father God, you are so good. You are merciful, merciful God. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for last night. We thank you for today. I ask blessings upon every woman here, Father, to just bless them, bless them. Bless them, Father God, with your goodness and your mercy. And I ask that you be with me as I present this message, Father, that I'm presenting myself to you this morning, Lord, as just a vessel, and that you might use me. I just open myself up for that. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Father God, he is so God, so good, isn't he? He's gracious and good to us. Reba and I were talking a little bit as we were getting to meet one another last night, getting to know one another before the services started, that it's really amazing how God orchestrates things. I love that, don't you? That we've got different women here speaking today. We've got Kathy Nickerson. We've got Reba. I'm speaking a little bit this morning. Chelsea has spoken, and Leslie spoke a little bit last night. And it's that, you know, we're all heading for that same goal. And this is the goal we're heading for. It's that you all might be set free from anything that is holding you back from seeing the worth that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we were talking, and it's like, it's just amazing how we have this one goal, this one purpose in mind for this entire weekend. And we're all coming at it from different avenues, different ways, but we're all reaching that same goal. We're reaching that. Last night, as Chelsea got up to speak and she was introducing Reba, I just thought, well, she's been sneaking in my house again and reading my notes, you know, because so much of what she shared was what is in my heart to share with you today. And then when Reba got up to speak, it was the same thing. It's like, how did she know that? You know, we know how she knew it, don't we? It's by the Spirit of God. We all have the same God. We all serve the same God, and we all have the same Spirit. So, bless God. Today, I'm coming at it from a little different way than Reba did, and I'm sure that Kathy will come at it from a little different way than I have. I'm going to come at it from growing in His grace, because grace is what it's all about. And I thought, you know, there's a reason why the writer of Hebrews said not to forsake the assembling together, especially in these latter days. Amen? Because don't we all need encouragement? We do. And we all need one another. I need you. And you all need one another to encourage one another, because this world's out there. And I tell you, ladies, this world is about as discouraging as it can get. So we have to go before God, and we have to come to each other and get that encouragement from one another and encourage ourselves in the Word of God. You know, I know David said that I encourage myself in the Word of God. How do we do that? By proclaiming and declaring the Word of God, and singing worship and singing praises unto God. And the more you do that, the more you get your mind off what this crazy world is trying to do, and it'll build you up inside. It'll encourage you. It'll encourage you. And the more you get encouraged, the more you think about the goodness of God and the things of God, the less you're going to be thinking about all your woes. Amen? Praise God. Okay, enough said. We're going to get going. I'm going to begin today with Philippians 1:6, and I'm going to be presenting this scripture to you in a couple of different translations because I can, and I like it. So first of all, we're going to do it through the Amplified Bible. The Apostle Paul says, I am convinced, and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Now, the one thing out of everything that I just read that I want you to get is that you got a good work going on inside of you. God's got a good work. Say, I got a good work going on in here. Hey, that was good. I didn't have to ask you to repeat it. Usually I go, say it again. Okay, this time you did great. We got a good work going on inside of us. It's a work that God has begun. When did he begin it? He began that good work the split second that you said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. And at that moment, that good work started generating within your spirit. And it's a good work. It's a cleansing work. It's a healing work. It's a restorative work. It's a delivering work that he has begun within you. And the scripture tells us in Philippians 1:6 that he will continue that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. And yesterday as I was going through my notes, I thought, glory, hallelujah. You know, it could all be over with like that, couldn't it? That good work that God began in you, the day that you received him as Lord and Savior, could come to a splitting, screeching halt right at this moment. Glory. Because don't we all expect Jesus to come soon? Amen. Amen. And the moment the scripture, Philippians 1:6, says when he returns, that's when it's going to stop. We'll be perfected in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the word, now I'm a teacher at heart. Those of you who know me know that primarily I'm a teacher at heart. That is my heart, is to teach the Word of God. And along with that comes things like digging through definitions of words for hours, you know, overdoing it. And people that know me well know that I do that. I love to dig up the words and, you know, and just share it. Sometimes a single word and the different definitions of that word will just open up a whole scripture that sometimes we just look at and we bypass. And so I'm going to get the first word I'm going to give you today is the word continue. Because it says that he is going to continue that good work in us. So the word continue carries with it the idea of something being ongoing, doesn't it? It's continuing. It's ongoing. That means it has no breaks. That means it has no pause. That means it has no interruptions. So even though you may not be able to see that good work in you, and even though you may not be able to feel that good work in you, I want to assure you today that there is a good work that is going on in you, and it is 24/7. When you lay your head on the pillow at night and you go to sleep, that good work does not stop. You may be sleeping soundly, and that good work is going on. You may be standing over the stove, cooking a meal, or taking care of your little ones, or whatever. That good work is going on. That good work continues 24/7. He's developing you. He's perfecting you. And he's bringing that good work into a full completion in you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and all of you. And the Message Bible says he will bring us to a flourishing finish. Now that painted quite a picture in my mind. I thought, you know, there are no dull endings with God, is there? He's going to bring you to a flourishing finish. And I thought, praise you, God, that's so awesome. And Philippians 1:6 in the Living Bible says, and I am sure that God who began that good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. And I thought, don't you just love God's perspective on things? as opposed to my perspective on things. Because when we look at ourselves, don't we often just see our weaknesses and our failures and our imperfections? Don't we see those things? We oftentimes just focus on those things. And we think, because I see that way, that I see weaknesses and imperfections and faults within myself, that surely, surely, God must see me in the same light. That he sees me and he thinks weakness. That he sees my faults. That he sees my failures and my messes. But you know, that thinking within itself will produce a sense of unworth. Now, I don't even know if that's a word, but you know, it suits my purpose. It'll produce a sense of unworth, that you have little or no value or importance in the kingdom of God. And to believe that my Father God is looking at me through the eyes of disappointment or anger or even disgust, well, that breaks my heart. And you know what? It doesn't make me want to run to God. It makes me want to run away. And it makes me want to hide in shame. And you know, if we think back to Genesis, I think we could pinpoint a couple of other people who did the same thing, can't we? You know, they walked in perfection. They walked in perfect fellowship and relationship with the Father God, Adam and Eve. And then they fell into sin. They fell into weakness, and they failed. They had faults and imperfections. And when God said, "Where are you?" What did they do? They ran and hid. They ran and hid in shame. Praise God. We have faults, girls. We got them. We do fail. And we are messes at times. But you know what? God does not see as man sees. And when we see our failures, he sees our growth. When I look at my weakness and I think of my imperfections, God's not looking at those things. God's looking at my progress. Praise God. Does that bless anyone here? It's like we get so caught up in seeing ourselves a certain way. If you know, and I thought coming into town this morning, I was praying as I was coming in, and I thought, you know, how many of us are moms in here? You know, there's a lot of moms in here. Well, how many of you, when your little ones were tiny and they were just learning to walk and they were pulling themselves up, you know, first they start walking around things and then all of a sudden they take off and they just toddle, you know, but they're walking, but they fall down. And then they get up and they fall down. Now, no show of hands, because I don't think it's even needed. How many of you looked at that child and said, "Well, you blew it. Aren't you a failure?" Nobody did that. Nobody did that. And God doesn't see us that way. And I ask myself, how can this be that a perfect God can look at an imperfect person and see such good, see such worth, and see such value? And in order to answer that to you, I have to go back to Philippians 1:6, to where it says that he is helping us to grow in his grace. And I see him looking at us, not through the eyes of disappointment, not through the eyes of anger or disgust, but I see him looking at us through the lens of his grace. And he's saying, "You're so worth it. You're so worth it." And somebody here today really, really needed to hear that. You needed to hear that God says that you are worth it. That he doesn't see the faults and the failures and the imperfections in you. And he wants you to know that he knows that you've been defining yourself with those faults and those failures. But what he wants to say to you today, and I feel this so in my heart this morning, that somebody here is struggling with that. Somebody here is battling that. And he wants you to know that every moment that he spent on that cross, every searing pain that he felt, every drop of blood that spilled was spilled for you. It was spilled for you. Why? Because you're worth it. Because he said so. Hallelujah. There's a big difference between being worthy and having worth, isn't there? Because being worthy sort of suggests that you're deserving of something, that you earned it. And we know that we, in and of ourselves, we could never be worthy because we could never, ever, ever have earned our salvation. We could never, ever have earned or deserved God's great love and Jesus' great sacrifice. But praise God, when he looks at us through that lens of grace, he sees great worth. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's the blood of Jesus, folks. It's the blood of Jesus. So when you have personally experienced the great love of God, and when you have visited Jesus at that cross, how can we deny the good work that's going on inside of us by saying that we have no worth, that we're failures, that we're weaknesses? It's denying something about the blood of Jesus. I know that's hard. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. But you know, every time we speak about our weaknesses, every time we focus on our failures and our imperfections, that's doing something to me about the blood of Jesus. Because his blood paid the price for all. His blood paid the price for your weaknesses. It paid the price for your imperfections. And your failures and your faults and your stumbling and your struggling. It paid the price for it all. And we can come up with a dozen reasons as to why we don't have worth. But Jesus has one reason. And that is because he said so. Isn't that simple? I mean, we could come up with hundreds of reasons why we shouldn't have worth, you know? I mean, I look at myself before I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I tell you, I could come up with a couple of dozen or more, maybe a couple of hundred, you know, of reasons why I shouldn't have received that grace, reasons why he should not have spilled his blood for me, and why I don't have any worth, why I didn't have any value or importance in this world or in the kingdom. And Jesus said, you've got worth, and you know why you've got worth? Because I said so. It's that simple. It's just that simple. It's because he said so. And I thought, how many of you remember being a child? Now, this is how it was in my house growing up as a little girl. How many of you remember being in your house, standing before your mom or your dad or both of them, and they're telling you to do something? And you're standing there going, why? 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 And what would the parents, 9 times out of 10, what would the parents say, Ashley? Because I said so. And I don't know about you, but that's the way it was in my household. And when my mom or my dad said, because I said so, I'll tell you what, it was game over. I mean, that was pretty much it. There was no crying. There was no having a tantrum. There was no screaming and yelling and throwing things. That was just it. That was the final answer that my parents gave. And when I look at the Word of God, I look through the Word of God and I read it, and I think, you know what, Chelsea? This is the final answer. Jesus has the final answer to all of our struggles, all of our woes. And he says it's there because he said so. You guys are too good. I can tell you got a good night's sleep and you're all awake today. you're answering right every time. Y'all get gold stars, okay? He's got the final answer. He's the only one that could have the final answer because he's the one that paid the price, isn't he? He's the one that spilled the blood so that we might have worth, so that we might have value. And he said, you have goodness in you. And he said, you have importance and you have usefulness. And he said, it's because I said so and because I paid the price for it. And the world tells us that our worth is not based on anything having to do with our faith in God. But our worth has to do with material things. It has to do with our wealth or our accumulation of whatever. And it has to do with where we're at on that rungs of the social ladder. And it tells us that we, maybe it's because of who we are. Or maybe it's because of how we look. And that's what the world tells us that worth is. But, you know, the Bible tells us that we're, what, in this world, but we're not of this world. That's right, isn't it? So we can't base anything, on what the world tells us, can we? Because they're all crazy. They're all crazy. Everything about the world is just crazy. So we can't base anything on that. And I was thinking the other day as I was studying, you know, how many of you have been to a carnival? And you've gone into one of these fun houses where they have the fun house mirrors? Y'all have been there, most of you. And I thought, you know, it's like the world, what the world tries to tell us or feed us, I ought to say, what they try to get us to swallow about who we are is like looking into one of those funhouse mirrors, isn't it? Because what happens is you walk up to this funhouse mirror and you look into it and you go, whoa, you know, it's like, what was that? You know, and what is the image that is reflected back to you is distorted. It's a distorted image of who you really are. So when you look into that funhouse mirror, when you look into what the world says you are, you know what? It's a distorted image. It's not who you are. But I'll tell you what, again, this is the true mirror. This is the mirror of God's word. And God wants you to know today that this will reveal to you who you really are. You don't have to go to the world to find out who you are. You don't have to accept what they tell you. This is the Word of God, the true mirror. And when we look into this, we don't get a distorted image. We don't get some twisted, weird, ugly image. He says we're beautiful. He says we're just magnificent. He thinks we're exquisite. That's what this mirror tells me. It tells me that I am a daughter of the Most High. It tells me that I am altogether lovely. You know, God is so good. He loves us so very, very, very dearly. And he wants us to know who we really are. He wants us to know who he created us to be. Not who the world created us to be, but, you know, who he created us to be. How many of you know the old hymn? I love that old hymn, The Solid Rock. You know, and the verse of it goes, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground. I'm going to emphasize that. All. I said all other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's sinking sand. And that's why we cannot put our confidence in the world. That's why we can't receive what they tell us is really us. And you know, everything is shifting. Everything is changing. Everything is crazy, like I said, with the world. And we can see that in the world system that we look at today because it is constantly shifting. It is constantly changing. And the things that gave you worth today or the things that said you are makes you worth anything today may be of absolutely no value at all tomorrow Because it's all shifting and it's all changing. And, you know, riches come and go. And, you know, everything else fades and wilts. You know? But the Word of God stands forever. And James 1:17 says that there is no shadow of turning in Him. Not even a shadow of it. It's not like there's no turning in God. There's not even a shadow of turning in Him. And Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is something, ladies, you can take to the bank. Because it will never change. Jesus Christ will never change His mind. And no matter how big of a mess that you think you are, He's looking at you and He said, you're worth it. You're worth every drop I spilled. You're worth it. Praise God. He'll never change His mind. Another definition that I want to share with you, because I like to share definitions, is the definition of grace. And, you know, there's a lot of definitions of grace out there, and there's a lot of ideas about what grace is and what grace isn't. But I came across a definition of the word grace the other day, and I think it has just quickly become my favorite definition. Because it says, grace is the face that God wears when He looks at my failures. Yeah. Isn't that powerful? Grace is the face that God wears when He looks at my failures. And I have to remind myself that my worth or my value in the kingdom of God is not dependent upon anything that society or the world can give me. It's not dependent upon my goodness, thank you, Jesus, and it's not dependent upon my works. My worth is dependent upon His goodness. My worth is dependent upon His grace. So instead of beating ourselves up all the time about our weaknesses and our failures and our imperfections, let's just relax. Let's just relax and look into that face of grace. And just, as the song said, just lie back into the hands of the Master Potter and let Him complete that good work that He began in us. Anyone getting anything? Thank God. He's molding us and He's shaping us into the women of God that He wants us to be. Not what we think we ought to be, not what society tells us we need to be, but what He wants us to be. Into that vessel of honor that the Bible talks about. And you know what? I may not be perfect today. I may not even be perfect tomorrow or the next day. But He's got a good work going on in me. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Perfection's coming, girls. Say, perfection's coming.
Perfection's coming.
Amen. Perfection is coming. And if we're looking at perfection as being the thing that makes us worthy, or perfection is the thing that we look at thinking that that's what we have to attain in order to be accepted and approved by God, we're kind of messed up anyway, aren't we? Because the last thing I knew, there was only one who is and has ever been perfect, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not looking for perfection in you either. He's looking for availability. He's looking for women of God to stand up and say, yes, Lord, in spite of their imperfections, in spite of their weaknesses and their doubts. And we need to understand that Jesus did the work for us. You know, He covered us with His blood so that we could be accepted, so that we could be approved. Hallelujah. And He brought us into this great, big, wonderful, delicious family of God. It says He loved me when I was yet a sinner. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't even understand that kind of thinking. It's like, what? You know, you love me. I remember what I was like before I came to the Lord. I was a mess. physically, emotionally, mentally, you name it, messed. And he loved me in spite of that. And he said, I think I'm just going to reach out to her because she's worth it. And I'm going to take her by the hand and I'm just going to bring her in to this great big family of God. Hallelujah, folks. Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. Amazing, amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, Lord. I have some scriptures that I want to share with you in closing. The first one is Psalm 139:14. It says, I will praise thee. I will praise thee, Father. I praise you, Father, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well that marvelous are your works, O Lord. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen generation. That means you weren't an accident. That means it was a plan. There was a plan that was made at the beginning of the world. God created a plan, and in that plan, he saw your individual faces. Hallelujah. I mean, think about that. Julie, he saw you. He says, wow, she's something. I'm going to bring her in. I'm going to bring her in. And she's going to be a mighty servant for me. And I thought, when I read these scriptures, I thought, you know, if these scriptures don't do it for us girls, I don't know what's going to. You know, because it says that we're chosen. Say, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm a chosen vessel of God. It tells us that we're loved. Say, I'm loved.
I'm loved.
I'm loved. And it tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And it tells us that we are his own special people. Praise the Lord. Like I said, if that doesn't do it for you, I don't know what's going to do it for you. You know, we'll lay hands on you. We believe in that too. We believe in that too. So I could go on and on and on, but I think that's just a perfect place to stop. 'Cause I